Hey guys, JP Moses, REITips.com, and I have here with me one of my very best friends on the planet, Sean the Swan McCloskey. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sean is one clap there in the background.
Right. I know a group of you listening to this already know who Sean is. You probably follow him on lifeandair.com, but Sean really is one of my best buddies. We've known each other for years, and I happen to have had the privilege of being with him when we actually created together something called the Short Sale Intensive. It was a, what was it, eight weeks long or something?
Yeah,
it
8 weeks.
Live, it was interactive, and it was just this really cool, I don't know, we had like 100 people in the inner circle with us just learning everything we could about the short sale market at that time. Sean is one of the, in my opinion, one of the very top short sale dudes around. And I don't just mean because he teaches and coaches, which he does, but he actually does deals. I mean, right now in this market, you're doing deals, both your own deals, and you're helping students personally involved in their deals, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so there's the proof. Yes, I am.
Well, I mean, here, I do two things. I take on a very select few of my own deals right now. Matter of fact, right now, personally, I only have four, actually, of my own deals that I'm physically working on my own right now. But I also have a coaching program. It's just very, very small. I have 10 people in my group, and I handhold them through their deals, and I get them through their first three transactions. So I get the benefit of being able to get feedback from 10 different people literally daily on what's going on with every single one of their deals. So some of these guys have 25 deals in the pipeline. Some of them have 5 or 6 in the pipeline. But the beauty of that is I get the experience of all 10 of them combined in addition to the deals that I'm doing. So I get to see a little bit of everything.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I love about that. I mean, you really have your finger on the pulse of what's working now, what's changing and tweaking right now. And when we were together in Kansas City last week, you and I were talking about some tips that you have been putting out, juicy stuff to your own folks, just about today's short sale market, the short sale arena as it exists in 2010.
Yeah.
Guys, I know that you know, I mean, right now, REOs and short sales is all anybody seems to be talking about. And there's a reason for that, and that is because the harvest is ripe and ready to be picked in those two arenas. But things have tweaked and changed. So, Sean, you've put together some cool stuff for your folks, but I wanted to just kind of put you on the spot, I guess, and ask you, what do you think are like the top two or three most important things that people need to know right now about the 2010 short sale arena? What are the biggest, most important things about short sales in 2010?
Well, first of all, I'll just say, you know, people are talking about REOs and short sales right now because those are really the only two things that I know of that are really working. I mean, we coach, we have another coaching program where I don't physically handhold people through the deals, but we help people through deals. We do weekly conference calls and things like that. And these are people who do all kinds of different real estate. The ones that are most successful right now are the REO people and the short sale guys. And so, but, you know, the fact is there's a lot of stuff that's changed in the past couple of years. And probably one of the biggest things that's changed is marketing, because it used to be that you could send out 100 letters and get 20 phone calls off of your letters. And it's not like that anymore. The marketing has changed. I think that's first and foremost, that's one of the biggest differences. And for the people who are out there trying to do marketing the same way they were doing it 2, 3, 4 years ago, they're realizing that they're not getting the same response that they were getting 2, 3, 4 years ago. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, homeowners are feeling like the government's going to come bail them out and that they've got until the end of the world to do that. And so they're not reacting as strongly unless you're doing things a little bit differently. And what I mean is creating relationships with these people in advance. We'll talk about some more of that this week, but that's first and foremost. Marketing is changing. If you're doing the same things you were doing a while back, it ain't working.
All right. What else?
Number two, I would probably say eliminating the deals that are going to die anyway. You know, most people think that more is better, which I agree with in some cases, like with ice cream, for example. I happen to be an ice cream junkie. But, When it comes to short sale deals, you know, I get a lot of guys that come up to me and they say, oh, man, you know, business is great. I got 50 deals in the pipeline I'm working on right now. I got 60 deals in the pipeline. And my response is, well, how many of those are going to close? You know, or how many of those are going to close in the next 30 days that you know of for sure? And they go, oh, I don't know, man, but some of them have got to close. And so my response to them is, you know, 10 really good deals that are really qualified deals are much better than having 50 just deals in the pipeline. And the game of short sales, having 50 is not always better than having 10. It's just a matter of going after the right deals and being able to pick which ones are the right ones and sniff out the ones that are not going to be good. Because you can waste a whole lot of time on bad deals that never go to closing and you don't get a paycheck even though you did a whole lot of work.
You know, I'll tell you what's interesting about that is I think a few years ago, maybe when you and I first met, you kind of had to stuff a lot of deals in the hopper. You know, based on where the banks were with short sales, you stuffed a lot in the top, and then you would live quite well off of what eventually came out of the bottom, which was a fraction of what you stuffed in the top. Now the banks' attitudes towards, you know, short sales, they're much – you know, back then, half the people in real estate didn't even know what a short sale was. Now it's like every article every day is about short sales. And you can really focus on the lower-hanging fruit, the sweeter deals, the home runs, and have a much higher closing ratio, I guess. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Everybody who's new in the real estate game, especially short sales, they go through this phase where they feel like, well, I don't have much going on right now, so any deal that comes my way, I'm going to go ahead and take it, and, you know, I'll just take it just because. And that's something that you get over real quick when you start working a whole lot of hours on one deal that never earns you a paycheck. And I did this for a long time. Almost everybody goes through this at first unless somebody teaches them otherwise. But I've even had students that came to me and, you know, that didn't follow this rule, and they just went after everything. They didn't follow the criteria that I put in front of them, saying, don't go after it if it looks like this, or if it looks like this, you know, be careful, you know, don't spend as much time. They think, well, I don't have that much going on, so I'll go after it. What that does, though, is it forces you to spend time on a deal that's likely never going to come to fruition, and it makes it so that when you get that phone call that really is a good deal, you don't have time to pursue the one that is a good deal because you're pursuing the one that's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's contrary to what you might think, but it is absolutely fundamental. You can only go after the stuff that is most likely to close. And I'm going to send, I know we talked about sending some goodies out to your people this week. I've got some information on specifically which deals to go after and which ones to avoid. So for those of you that are listening, I'll share that with all of you this week. You'll know exactly which ones to go after and which ones to throw in the garbage. Or maybe even not throw them in the garbage, but refer them to somebody else. Let them deal with all the ones that are really hard. And then if they close, then you'll at least get a referral fee, but you're not going to be the one spending all the hours working on the ones that are likely not going to close.
Excellent. I love that tip. Any other red flags, cautions
yes.
for 2010?
Yes. The market has changed to the point where, I mean, here, I had a coaching student on a call just, let's see, today's Monday. I had a coaching student on a call Thursday just of last week, and he was saying how he put some REO offers out last week, and he was freaking out because he put these really aggressive offers out last week, and the bank accepted every single offer that he put in. So he's got, like, he put out, I can't remember if it was three or four offers, something like that, put out three or four offers, and all three or four banks came back and said approved. They didn't counter him. They didn't do anything. They approved it. And so on one hand, he's excited, you know, because he got these deals approved. And on the other hand, he's freaking out because he was hoping to get one of them, you know. So, but what does that tell you? I mean, on one end, be excited about getting the deals. But on the other end, right now we're seeing this pattern over and over again where these REO banks, bank-owned properties, they're accepting offers lower than they have in the past. What does that mean that the banks think about the current industry? I mean, think about this. Interest rates right now are lower than they've been in 40 years. 40 years. And yet the market's not increasing. People aren't buying more houses right now. Why not? The general consensus is that people are afraid. So right now, price is more important than ever. You got to have the baddest looking house on the street for the lowest possible price. And I've got one more thing I'll send out to you guys this week. I've got a little video I put together. We're selling all our houses right now, typically in 14 days or less. Matter of fact, if we're not selling it in 14 days, it's going to probably be months before we can sell it. So we put together a strategy where we sell about 90% of our properties are gone in 14 days or less. Every once in a while, one slips through there and we make a little mistake and it doesn't sell in 14 days. But for the most part, almost every single property we sell sells in 14 days. And I'll give you a hint. A lot of it has to do with price. But we're doing a strategy that's different than anything that you've ever heard of before. It does involve using the MLS, but it also involves doing some auction stuff that's real creative that you probably have never heard of before, and I'll share that stuff with you guys as well.
Awesome. I'm very excited. Roughly over the next, let's say, 7 days or so, we'll be putting out just as much of this stuff as we can here at REI Tips. So stay tuned. Watch your inbox for that. A couple of videos. We're going to put out a PDF. Just some of this stuff that is, you know, whether you do short sales right now or you don't do short sales right now or you're thinking about short sales one way or the other, if you're involved in this market right now, I think you really need to understand how short sales are different and how they're affecting this market right now and how they're going to affect your business one way or another. So I'm really excited to put it out. Thanks, man. Thanks for, you know, you're my buddy, so everybody gets to win. Now I get the inside track on dovetailing off the cool stuff you put together for your people.
Well, thanks, man. I'm glad to help.
Yeah, one more thing. Guys, go ahead and put whatever your biggest, baddest, toughest questions about doing short sales in 2010, making money from the short sale industry in 2010, whatever they are, drop them in the comments below in this blog post. And one way or another, I'll get Sean back to answer your questions, okay? I'll promise you that right now. I'm kind of putting him on the spot. But whatever, just think for a second. Take 60 seconds and think of as many of your biggest, baddest short sale questions as you can. Drop them in the comments below, and we'll get you an answer from King Daddy.
And let me just add, you know, not just your biggest short sale questions. Tell me, what are some of your biggest fears? I mean, let's put them out on the table. Let's not just throw them under the rug. What are some of the biggest things you're afraid of? A lot of times people come to me right now and they say, man, I'm afraid that if I find a deal, I'm not going to be able to find a buyer. There's not as many buyers right now. Or people say, you know, if I find a deal, how am I going to find the money to be able to fund this thing right now? So whatever your fears are, too, if you're afraid about something, let's talk about it. Let's not sweep it under the rug. I'll address all of it. Don't be afraid to put it out there. Just let us know what your questions are, what your fears, what your concerns are, and we'll address it sometime next week.
Awesome. So stay tuned, guys. Great stuff coming the next 7 days or so. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Drop your questions below. See ya.